The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Hello.
All right. I like your enthusiasm, Chris. All right.
Yeah, but maybe say it a little louder next
time. Maybe dial it back to four cups of coffee before we do the show.
Okay. As I take another sip, yes.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We were just, it's summertime here in we were debating the best way to the beach, highway-wise, and a lot of people, it's vacation season, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People. I tell you, when you get a good deal, if you don't care about, now people, I'm talking about for anywhere you want to go on vacation.
Right.
It is at the end of August or 1st of September,
mm-hmm.
after all the families with kids who have to get back and be in school have gone, left. You did this last year,
my
right?
wife and I, we went down in
October, right?
Yeah.
Went down to the beach in October, and you had it all to yourself, did you?
It was awesome.
Because the weather's perfect.
Weather is, it's way better. My wife and I have reached the stage in life. Now, people who get up in age may not all be the same way.
Right.
But we don't do hot
right.
at the beach.
Right.
I never... Even when I was a young guy, a teenager or whatever.
And you were buff.
I was kind of skinny. I don't know if I was buff, but you know, my friends and I, we'd go to the beach in New Hampshire. There's a little part of the state that hits the coast and all the time. And, you know, we'd do stuff on the beach, throw football or whatever. But I never liked just laying out in the sun.
Right.
And, you know, with a blanket and getting sweaty. Just
Yeah, that didn't appeal to you.
Did not appeal.
No. Fred, you like going to the...
Love Desden. Now, I've gone down in February. You know, get a good forecast, and I go down. And I'm there with everybody from Wisconsin, Minnesota. Everything's relative.
Right.
Yeah. Everything's relative.
Right.
You know, think right. Wisconsin, Minnesota in February. Right. Think Destin in February.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if the high is 59.
That's right. Take
you're
your
good.
Pick. I'm like, I don't like hot weather.
Yeah.
And certainly to stay out on the beach in hot weather.
Right.
No, there's just no way for that. Yeah. So I enjoy walking along with my parka.
Now, I like walking. When my wife went down to the beach, we like walking in the morning on the beach, finding the odd shell what have you. But in terms of just laying out, like people who get tans and sand everywhere, I don't get it.
Now. Chris lays out, don't you, Chris?
I do.
Get you a sun, what do you call those things at home?
Suntan? Tanning bed?
Tanning bed.
No, I don't have a tanning bed.
Bed.
I do enjoy being out outside. Especially this time of year, we do go to the beach every once in a while, but I'm happy with, you know, going to the hills or the mountains.
Head for the hills, Chris.
Yeah.
Well,
in altitude.
You'll never hear me complain about hot weather.
No,
can't have.
Oh, that's true.
I've been here 15 years, and I've never heard you go. No, man, it's hot.
I detest cold weather. I think
you do. You're on another level.
I know it's biblical.
Now, what is too hot for golf? Like for you, what is too hot for golf?
Well, my uncle famously told me when I was golfing with him one time, because I mentioned this, it was like 98 degrees, and I said, man, it's hot out here. I don't know if we should be out here or not. He goes, Tim, it's never too hot to golf.
Period. Said,
duly noted. All right. It's what's today? Did I mention
today's
today?
June 11th,
June the 11th, 2025, And leading the news headlines is what?
President Trump today is celebrating a tentative trade deal with none other than China. He announced this today that the U.S. will get magnets and rare earth minerals and some other stuff from China under a new trade deal, and that tariffs on Chinese goods will go to 55%. This is a story on our website, AFN.net. Details are still going to be coming in. But again, President Trump has announced a tentative trade deal with China. It would be a huge win for him if he were to do this. It would follow the trade deal with the UK and some other countries that we've been in talks with to improve trade. And in the immortal words of one president, Tim Wildman, stocks go up and stocks go down. But right now, the stock market appears to be responding very positively about the new tentative trade deal with China. The Dow, for example, is up 118, the NASDAQ 26, and the S&P 7. So, your 401k.
What about the Chicago Mercantile?
Give me a second and I'll get back to you. But I'll tell you this, gold is also up 15 points, so William Devane with Roslyn Capital is having a good day.
I need June corn.
Okay. And what's the pig something that they sell
the pig?
With no, pigs.
They do. Yeah,
it's
I
like
know what you
pig,
mean.
I don't know what
we need August hog prices.
Okay, hold on.
That's what we need.
he's our Les Nesbitt.
Les Nesbitt.
I'm sorry. The price
of hogs can fluctuate, but a whole hog typically costs between $600 and $850.
Right. All right. So
back to you.
So a trade deal with China to stop the tariffs is imminent?
Mm-hmm. Looking like it. They still have to sign off on some stuff, but both countries, which don't like one another, being near agreement on something is a positive thing for all Americans.
In China, Tim, as you've pointed out many times, China and the U.S. are kind of joined at the hip. We need each other in terms of economics, even while we are wary of each other when it comes to military. And
We're both codependent. China and the U.S.
We're codependent.
Yeah.
Listen, you all this talk about tariffs and people talking about what kinds of things would go up in price makes you kind of go, I don't know. I sure kind of like that, you know, cheap Tupperware or whatever you're talking about. It is nice to have stuff that's inexpensive.
Okay, so this is according to Fox News, Chris say, President Donald Trump said on Wednesday, that's today, that the trade deal with China is done and subject to final approval between him and Chinese President Xi
Jinping.
Xi.
Xi.
That's how you pronounce it?
Xi.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Those are not pronouns. That's his name.
So anyway, good point. That's a big deal.
Yes,
if that's
it is.
True, it's a big deal, a big, big deal.
And what I guess he must have posted this on Truth Social or whatever, because it's in all caps.
Right.
Full magnets and any necessary rare earths.
You're quoting Trump?
Trump.
In his all caps?
Yes, all caps. Will be supplied up front by China.
Yeah.
Likewise, we will provide to China what was agreed to, including Chinese students using our colleges and universities. I'm not sure I like that, but anyway, which has always been good with me, Trump continues. We are getting a total of 55% tariffs. China is getting 10%. Relationship is excellent.
Yeah, I will tell you, to give everybody an idea of how big and how necessary things like rare earth minerals are, we are surrounded in this room and we're using rare earth minerals to broadcast to people. Okay, everything from the headset to this phone, my computer, Brent's board, all this stuff. You somewhere today, America, are using something or touching something that involves a rare earth mineral, and we need those things. So to have an agreement on that is huge.
Yeah. Well, good deal.
Otherwise, we're going to have to invade Greenland.
Well,
don't they have rare earth minerals there?
I'm told they do.
And there's news on that front, too.
Yes. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, the news on that front is that in Denmark this morning, Copenhagen, Denmark's parliament today approved a bill to allow the United States to have military bases on Danish soil, a move that comes as U.S. President Donald Trump seeks to have a greater presence in the kingdom's semi-autonomous territory of Greenland. So this is a big deal, too. Everybody thought, remember when Trump started talking about Greenland?
Yeah.
The Danish people really upset with that. Who does he think he is?
Right.
But now it just has to be signed off. But now they're saying, yeah, we're open to more U.S. bases here in Denmark. And Greenland is semi-autonomous, as this AP story says. I think you're going to see more U.S. bases on Greenland. We have right. one there now. It's Air Force Base, I believe it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right.
We wanted what President Trump and the militaries wanted because the North Pole.
Yes.
And coming over the North Pole from Russia.
And yes. Santa.
And
I'm just saying, I want to get, there's more than just Russia.
Right. You are exactly sure. right. I'm not falling into that trap, the Santa trap. But there has been a need for more bases. And I have to believe that what Denmark has done is try to preempt any move on the part of Greenland. The people of Greenland, it's only like 50,000 people mm-hmm. there, they would benefit greatly from having the presence of a U.S. military base because that pours money into the local economy. So
Absolutely.
Perhaps Denmark is trying to preempt any kind of move on the part of Greenland uh-huh. to ink a deal or to go independent from Denmark so that they can yeah. ink a deal.
What if war breaks out between Denmark and Greenland? Whose side do we take there?
Well, I don't think Greenland has much of an offensive capability.
No.
Against Denmark?
Yes.
So the population of Greenland 2025 is 55. Almost 56,000 people estimated, to your point, 50,000. Yeah. So just 10,000, 12,000 more than Tupelo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That live in the whole country
where
Greenland.
Where our flagship station is located here in Mississippi, yeah. Tupelo.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we don't have enough.
There's no rare earth minerals or
here that yeah, I'm aware of.
Right.
the point is that... Denmark, the country of Denmark, owns Greenland. Is that right?
No, the people of Greenland, they own it, but I think they would have to declare independence from Denmark in order to, it's kind of like, I guess, probably like the UK, you have this.
Okay, but the
formal
the bottom line, whether it was Denmark or Greenland or whoever, the United States of America has worked out a deal to put a military base there. That's the bottom line of what we're saying here.
Well, it's actually the story actually says military bases. The the Danes build to allow the United States to have military bases on Danish soil.
Okay, well, they got the land.
Yep,
they do.
You know, they just you know what, the money talks, and that's what's happened here.
And you know what? Half the time, I'm gonna admit something here, okay? Yeah. I've already shared my heart about the beach.
You have,
okay?
So share it again.
All right.
Share some more.
So half the time, I think President Trump is clowning around, and he's just trolling, and he's just trying to get a rise out of the Democrats.
Gulf of America.
Yes, Gulf of America. This thing with, buying Greenland. And Canada, the 51st state, I think that is trolling, Canada, the 51st state. But when he started talking about Greenland, I thought, oh, that guy, here he goes again. But he's serious, and it looks like he's got a win with this.
Yeah, and now, in all seriousness, not only the advantage geopolitically, so to speak, putting a military, we already have one, as you say,
uh-huh.
but having access to the land of Greenland to put American troops there and military helps us, with our reach around the world.
Yes.
Okay. So to speak, to be ready. And if we're in a hot war,
yep.
God forbid with Russia, for example, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it gives you, and Russia, they're all over the North Pole, speaking of the North Pole.
Right.
With their military, is what I understand. And so, this is you mentioned rare earth minerals, probably the natural resources and the minerals and all right. that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, untapped in Greenland is enormous.
Yeah.
So 50,000 people in Greenland could potentially become very, very wealthy.
I think that's what they're seeing dollar signs. I think it's a little fisherman. You know what I'm saying? Going out catching your salmon.
That might be why they don't want to become part of the U.S. Then they have to, you know, pay up to Uncle Sam if they start becoming millionaires.
Yeah.
That wouldn't deter me, Chris. Paying a little taxes. I was going to become a millionaire.
Well, you know, Democrats are going to say they need to pay their fair share now that they're part of the U.S. Yeah.
All right.
There is, by the way, Fred said, one Air Force base in Greenland. Used to be formerly known as Thule Thule.
You don't remember that?
Air Base. And I have read it. I didn't know how to pronounce it. I forgot about it. But they renamed it. And I guess Greenlandic is just one of those languages that's just baffling to me because it's spelled, the new name is P as in Paul, I-T-U-F-F-I-K, and it's pronounced Bidoofik. So I'm just going.
I think Trump's going to rename it Stonewall Jackson. Fort Stonewall Jackson there in Greenland.
Fort Stonewall.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Then just let the Democrats try to change that name.
Let them watch them head spin out there.
Yes.
Body. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What's your next story, Chris?
Well, the winds continue to come President Trump. Yes. In another story on our website, and I shared this just a moment ago on our Today's Issues Facebook page, Elon Musk is backing off from his feud with Trump, saying he regrets social media posts about Trump that, quote, went too far. Early this morning, Musk posted on X, "I regret some of my posts about President Real Donald Trump last week. They went too far." So,
which one?
His posts.
There were several. I could take the rest of this break or this segment to rattle off the things that he had to say about Trump. But again, it looks like this feud between the two guys that were best friends 10 days ago appears to be ending, which would be good for Trump because it gets it out of the news.
Yeah.
Opera. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. He's not used to, kind of like President Trump.
Oh, they're two peas in a pod.
I mean,
pods in a pea.
When you are very wealthy and have built successful businesses and your word is law, you're not used to people not doing what you think they should. So I think Elon Musk got very frustrated with the way politics works in D.C. I think he thought that President Trump ought to start lopping off heads in the Democratic Party, but that's
not
really
the Democratic Party.
I mean, the Republican Party, and the Democratic Party, I'm sure. But I that's just not the way politics works in D.C. And I think Elon Musk got frustrated and he took it out on social media.
I tell you what happened.
Who doesn't do that sometimes?
Yeah, he is an eccentric kind of guy. Talking about Elon Musk. When I say two peas in a pod, Trump and Musk are alike in that they're not used to taking no for an answer. And then you get both of them, somebody's going to end up taking a no. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And so President Trump, and I'm a fan of almost everything he does. I think he's been an excellent president for us and leader. But his weakness is he acts like a child. Sometimes a fifth grader, and so he got karma right here. he got into a public feud with a guy who has a microphone as big as his. Most of the people that Trump goes after don't have the ability to fight back. For instance, when he called Nikki Haley bird brain all those times, Well, that was a fifth grader. That's what I'm saying. Especially calling a woman that over and over and over and over again. And I'm going like, karma is you get into it and somebody calls you a name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I'm glad. Hopefully this is over because it's been embarrassing for both of them.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk, he, as I say, eccentric guy. But I think what happened, the bottom line here, what happened, we don't know the behind the scenes. Maybe there's more behind the scenes that we don't know about. But Elon Musk spent and volunteered his time to help President Trump win and then did the whatever it was, 5 months or 4 months of
Doge.
And pointing out all the waste and fraud in the government, federal government. And then what Elon Musk would say, President Trump would have an answer for this, I know. But what Elon Musk would say was, I do all this for you, Trump, and then you turn around and push a piece of legislation which is a bunch of waste and fraud.
And
by the and adds to the national debt by trillions and harms our country. That's what he would say.
And my Tesla stock took a nosedive while dealerships were being burned to the ground.
Right. So what he's saying, so Musk has an emotional and financial investment in in what he's done for the last 4 or 5 months. And then he would say now, and then Trump comes in and supports a big, beautiful bill that adds to our national debt by trillions and trillions of dollars. I'm just telling you that's what he would say. And he did say it. What Trump would probably say, Fred, is, yeah, but I'm trying to deal with the economy in the moment.
Yeah.
And I can't solve all its problems, but we need to get this, our economy jump started bigger. That's probably what he would say.
Yeah, and I think Musk has come around. I think he went on a rant. He was very emotional. But he's come around to saying, wait a minute, my companies have a lot of contracts with the federal government. And Trump's the kind of guy who would say, we don't need that.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's calming down, and we're getting back to the point where the focus is going to be on this big, beautiful bill that the Senate is working on right now.
You like the big, beautiful bill, Fred?
Well, I haven't read all 1,100 pages, much like many Republicans.
I'm getting there. I'm at 897, I think, as of last night.
I like the basic thrust of the bill. Is to continue the tax breaks that Trump brought in back in 2017.
Yep.
I like that idea. I mean, obviously, I think in this discussion, when Musk really went ballistic over this, I think the truth was brought home by senior Republican senators. The government is not a private company. And everybody has to realize that there are so many players. A private company doesn't have to get everything passed through 400 politicians in the House and 100 politicians in the Senate. But that's the reality of our government. This is, you know, it's a cake in the baking. And this is why it takes so long to do these things. And we all get frustrated. But what's the alternative?
Yeah.
The alternative is a dictator. Who decides everything.
Yeah, and as I've said, the system in D.C. is broken.
Yeah.
And you're not going to straighten that thing out overnight.
Mm-mm.
It's going to take years of persistent and consistent effort to rein in the federal government. I'm not sure it can be done.
But...
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Yeah, the laugh that evil the laughing laugh. Sounds like mockery of what you're saying.
I understand what the mockery's for. The very idea of reining in the federal government.
Over years.
Over years.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure it can be done. I'm not sure the members of Congress who have to do it, if it's going to be done, want to do it. But I'm speaking hypothetically.
Yes, you are.
And it deserved a little scorn.
It did.
The fact that I said it.
Okay, so we'll, you know, yeah, you're right. Our federal government is basically out of control.
Yeah.
And so we will.
You're going to hear that laugh one day when you say something.
Right, right. We're going to do, but whatever bad's going to happen is going to happen.
It's coming.
It's happen. That horse has left the barn.
And locking
train
the door
has left
now.
The station. That's right. That ship has sailed. What else we got?
That pizza's been made.
And eaten. All right. We'll be back with more pepperoni in about 3 or 4 minutes here. Abraham Hamilton III, our constitutional lawyer on
staff here.
He's going
to tell us if Trump can call out the Marines.
Trump's calling out the Marines. And can he do that? We're going to ask. Going to ask Abe about that. Stay with us.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe versus Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. 1 Peter 3:14-16.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, Chris, and now we thought, well, we don't have enough people on this show, so we need another person. And we've added Abraham Hamilton III for the next few minutes. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
So we were talking about, or were we? Were we talking off the air or on the air about the latest situation in, why don't you set it up for us,
sure.
Chris?
All right. So there is still unrest in Los Angeles, where President Trump several days ago sent the National Guard and now the Marines to the city of Los Angeles to deal with anti-ICE protesters or riots. The update with this story is that the mayor now, Karen Bass, former member of Congress, has put in place a curfew for L.A., but people are still concerned that what's been happening in L.A. will continue to be a problem and maybe even spill over to other cities. But what we brought in Abe to discuss was whether or not President Trump, or really any president, could deploy something like the Marines to try to put down protests or riots inside the United States. It's our understanding, Abe, that presidents have and do have the power to send in the National Guard, but the Marines is a different ballpark. So can a president do something like this?
Yeah. So my answer very simply is the president can't deploy the Marines to engage in any type of like law enforcement activity, any type. I mean, you have law, posse comitatus, you have other formal forms of law that prohibit domestic utilization of our national military. That is the purpose of the National Guard. But when you say Marines are being deployed, the simple question is, what are they going to do? You know, if they're there to provide like administrative support for the National Guard, then they certainly can do that. But they won't be like, they won't be roaming the streets and, you know.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, the law doesn't allow them to do that. So if that is what Marines were doing, I would be among the first to say that is an illegal utilization of the United States Marines.
So, in other words, you're talking about even the Army, it doesn't have to be just the Marines we're talking about, but the military can't set up checkpoints and say, hey, I want to see your ID. You're not supposed to be on this road. We're going to arrest you. Pull your vehicle over. That's the purpose of keeping the military and the law enforcement in separate categories.
Yeah, and it goes back to the Founding Fathers, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, when arguments were made concerning, well, we've just displayed the capacity using various militia and things of that nature to repel England. Well, what stops a despotic, tyrannical president from turning that same force on domestic citizens, you know, which is why there's that division between our national military. It's for external yeah. facing purposes, not for internal domestic function.
Okay. I'm just going to here's my feeling on this. I'm going to share my heart, Ed.
Yep. Share it.
Can I share it?
Absolutely.
This is a terrible idea President Trump has. Terrible idea. 700 active duty U.S. Marines, sending them to Los Angeles. What are they going to do? Marines are fighting machines. What are you going to give them guns and tell them to go street to street, taking on the rioters? I mean, this is a terrible idea. Now, that's what the National Guard is there to, and this curfew is going to be a big help, okay? I think that the mayor has instituted.
Well, they've already ignored it.
And isn't the curfew like just a particular square mile?
Yes.
It's not the entirety of the
right,
city.
Right, that is correct.
The square mile.
Yeah, which is wise. I mean, that's you don't want to curfew the whole city of Los Angeles right now. I mean, but I think you use the National Guard, you use the state police, you use whatever you have to call in more guardsmen, but call in the Marine Corps to be deployed. Now, that's my opinion. You guys may not share it. And that's fine. Our listeners may go, well, you're wrong, Tim. Okay. This is saying in the Bible. Okay. We're not disagreeing on scripture here. I'm just saying, I think this is a bad idea to deploy the United States Marine Corps 700 active duty to Los Angeles, California to do what?
That's the question.
Has President Trump answered that question? Has Pete Hegseth answered that question?
Well, not in direct terms.
Why not?
I can't explain what goes on in
president. You're the newsman, Chris.
I don't know that I the only person that knows Fred? What's going on in Donald Trump's mind is God.
Yeah. Fred. Well, Elon Musk too.
The phrase that's been used is to restore order. I had two questions for you, Abe. Newsom has tried to make the point that it is the governor's responsibility. It is the governor that has the power to call in the National Guard.
Is his name Gavin George Wallace?
Okay. So you're saying the president has that right.
Yeah.
All right.
And has past presidents have
yeah. okay.
exercised number, that right.
Number two, though, President Trump, in some of the news conferences he's had in the last few days, he was asked the question, what about insurrection? Is that a justification for calling in Marines? That phrase is being used, that word is being used, insurrection. If there was, you'd have to define what an insurrection is.
Sure.
But if there was an out-and-out insurrection, would the president then have the right to send Marines in?
No. Still no.
Okay.
No, the president does not have the authority to dispatch our national military for domestic matters. That's why we have guardsmen. That's why we have state police. That's why we have local police officers, local law enforcement. That's one of the major distinctions between our nations and, like, foreign nations like Mexico and others. They don't have local police. It's Policia Nacional. It's the military and police all in one. In the United States of America, we have separated that intentionally so that we avoid that kind of conflation of national military force that could be turned on our domestic citizens.
Because, as an example, and I'm in agreement with Tim on this with regards to the Marines, there were Democrats who called January 6th an insurrection. They used that language. And that's where it gets tricky.
Really?
That's where it gets tricky. If you're going to be a president who wants to call out the U.S. military to put down an insurrection, it all depends then on how you define an insurrection. And it seems like the founders and then other laws, too, that were passed were to avoid that situation of turning the U.S. military into an instrument of terror against the citizens.
Yeah, that is... Again, the function and the purpose for having that division between domestic law enforcement, law and order keeping function is not the function of the national military. You know, and so to Tim's point, what are the Marines going to do? Like I said, I don't have a problem with them serving as administrative support for the National Guard, but why describe it as a deployment of active duty Marines that are going to be doing administrative support. I don't get that.
All right. So Newsom yesterday went to court. We haven't got a decision yet. He went to court to say what Trump did with the National Guard is illegal. Now, of course, he probably went judge shopping like Democrats have been doing.
That's why I refer to him as Gavin George Wallace Newsom. I mean, you literally have this, the exact same situation to where the federal law was passed, congressionally enacted federal law was passed. The state government refused to abide by federal law, kind of like federal law says illegal immigrants need to be deported, things of that nature. State government is refusing to do so. The president at that time, it was JFK with George Wallace. Now it's President Trump with Gavin Newsom that dispatches the National Guard to help to implement federal law, just like JFK did with George Wallace. And unfortunately, Gavin Newsom is doing the George Wallace remix role pretty well.
Hey, let me ask you this. You had a similar situation in New Orleans that you experienced with Hurricane Katrina. Now, not civil unrest because of protests, but because of the situation on the ground in terms of the flooding and people displaced and things of that nature. And you had some of the looting going on and so forth and so on. But in a situation like this, what's the chain of command? Who has ultimate authority? Does the National Guard, do the Marine Corps, do the county sheriff, the city of, mayor of Los Angeles? Who has authority?
But I mean, obviously, the president in dispatching and deploying the National Guard has his role with the National Guard, but you would hope you have interaction between federal law enforcement and that chain of command is established within that internal framework. With the situation of Hurricane Katrina, you had the Army Corps of Engineers were present for engineering purposes because the Army Corps was responsible for help to design the levee system. But the Army Corps of Engineers weren't going street by street doing any policing or anything of that nature. It was a combination of state police, the National Guard, and local police officers that were doing that, and they were working under the authority of the state governing forces under the
governor?
Yeah, under the governor working with the Louisiana mayor, the New Orleans mayor at the time. So the governor was one calling the shots in coordination with the mayor.
I got you.
My personal opinion is that the U.S. Marine Corps, I just looked up the numbers, there are only 168,000 plus in the Marine Corps.
Total.
Okay, total. This is a specialized branch of the military. They're too valuable. As Tim said, they are trained
to kill.
To kill things, kill people and break things. And you don't put them that are that kind of specialized, you don't put them in a situation for which they're not trained. I doubt they're able to carry live ammunition. So even if they're walking around with their weapons, I don't think they're able to defend themselves if a large group of people attack them, and you don't want to put them in that position. And I don't like calling out the military for this kind of thing because they're just not trained for it, and you could wind up, if they did have live ammunition, these guys want to go home and see their families too. You could have another Kent State kind of situation where rioters get shot and killed.
According to the Associated Press, I'm reading, the 700 Marines arrived in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles area. They have arrived, but they haven't been called to respond to the protest as of Tuesday afternoon, and were only there to protect federal officials and property, the Marine Corps commandant said. That's fine. I still disagree fundamentally, constitutionally, with deploying them in the first place for any reason whatsoever, although Abe gave out maybe one that's acceptable, that is some kind of administrative role, but 700 is too many for an administrative role, sounds like to me. So anyway, we'll see. Hopefully all this dies down and fades away.
I do have one additional question.
Go ahead.
For Abe. So we know that the First Amendment gives us the right, American citizens, to peaceably assemble.
Keyword.
Okay. So what we're seeing in, because all these people who are defending it, even many on the left in the media and the Democrats, they're saying, well, Maxine Waters says it's peaceful. Okay.
She's such a bastion of truth telling.
Yes. So you're not allowed, even if you are protesting something that you think is a legitimate wrong and you're petitioning the government for a redress of grievances, you're not allowed to riot and burn things and loot, right? That's not considered protected by the First Amendment.
No, the First Amendment, as you rightly said, protects American citizens' rights to peaceably assemble. And I would just take issue with people conflating these riots with petitioning the government for redress of grievances, because petition is a term of art that has a specific application. You don't petition on the streets. You use the courtroom for that purposes. But the First Amendment protects the right to peaceably assemble. The moment an assembly moves over into non-peaceability, you've crossed the threshold, you've crossed the line into criminal activity. So when you have burning property, when you have destroying other people's property, when you have attacking police officers, when you have bricks and concrete blocks being hurled at people, you've exited the realm of peaceable assembly and you've entered the realm of criminal rioting, which is why the local law enforcement should be involved in helping to maintain law and order by helping the citizens to understand you have the right to peaceably assemble. You can shout, you can do these other things, but you cannot violate the law. You cannot break people's property, cannot destroy people's property, cannot assault individuals, cannot attack anybody. And once you've crossed that threshold into criminality, you should be treated as a criminal.
All right, and just one last question, because this is very helpful, Abe. So let's say the riots, whether this is organic or whether this is staged and being paid for, all those kinds of questions aside, what if this gets out of hand and exceeds the ability of local law enforcement and state police and even the National Guard to contain it?
And you're going.
Huh?
You're going to be called up.
What?
Calling up Ed.
What can the government, what do you do at that point?
Yeah, so when you say felt inability to contain it, are you limiting to the city of Los Angeles? Is it beyond the state? Does it bleed over into other states?
Yes, all of that. Let's say in Los Angeles, the numbers continue to grow. Mm-hmm. I think they arrested like 29 people yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's a fraction of what's there. Mm-hmm. Let's say hundreds of thousands of people and Los Angeles is being shut down, and then this spreads to other, because it's just going to happen in blue states and blue cities. I don't believe.
I'm pretty sure it won't bleed over into certain areas. It won't get into Idaho. It won't get into other areas.
So what happens under those circumstances? Is that, do you declare martial law? I mean, and do you think that's what the left, the
who would declare,
left is after?
Who would declare martial law?
Yeah.
The president, right?
If it's martial law for the whole country?
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking. Let's say it spreads to Chicago and New York City and Detroit, and the cities are burning and law enforcement.
We already saw this movie.
Yeah.
Like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about Occupy Wall Street or these
BLM riots.
Okay. Let me.
I'm sorry.
Let me. Be
I was shutting my mouth.
No.
And let you converse with Abe, and Abe can agree with.
Though no, I'm not saying. You don't have to shut your mouth for the president.
Shut my mouth.
What I'm trying to describe is a situation beyond all this, because in these areas where you have those little zones, that in 2020, the summer of the police decided to take a hands-off approach because they did not want confrontation. Okay. What if this is not just, hey, we're setting up our little zone here. Mm-hmm. We're taking over the city.
Yeah. So you would have to have law, like you just described, like the Summer of Love and like Portland and other places, the police decided not to enforce existing law.
Right.
So in order for this to happen, as you're describing it, you have to have law enforcement officers who are paid, trained, and swear oaths to enforce existing law who agree not to do so. And so then if that continues to spiral, I can assure you that you won't have other locales that would agree with that. You have others who will step in, and as much as we have, you know, criminals and all, then criminals will not be able to outgun trained law enforcement officers. You know, I've seen what law enforcement officers have in terms of their capacity to restore law and order, and I am very confident that if you have one locale of rogue law enforcement officers, that will not metastasize beyond that one locale. I'm confident of that.
All right.
All right. In terms of martial law declarations, it would have to come from a governor or a president. But that is not a realistic. In many ways, I really think many progressives want to provoke President Trump to do something, a misstep of that form,
yeah.
so that they can say, "See, we told you all along."
Yeah, I hope
just
he doesn't fall for that
authoritarian.
Trap.
Yeah, and I don't think he will.
You can't.
I pray that he won't.
Yeah, you couldn't martial law America anyway.
No,
it's impossible.
Yeah.
Huh. I can name 10 people right now who aren't going to participate. That's only my family member.
My family member.
That's called the not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Not
going to
do it.
Yeah, so I'm thinking this is going to quell down. I know that people are calling, saying watch for Saturday. But the BLM riots from, what was that, 2020? When was that?
2020. After
they were George much, Floyd. They were much more extensive. At least now, this is maybe early, and you know, you do have your Antifa types and so forth. But anyway, what people are reacting to, I think, is the people who are doing the rioting. There, some of them are emotional because they have family, friends, or whatever that been affected by people being arrested and deported. And so I do think it's organic. But, you know, some people say, no, it's all planned. I think it's – maybe it is some
– maybe planning. It's both.
Maybe it's both. But we'll probably know more this time next week whether this is going to spread across the country. I know that we had some demonstrations in New York and – what, in Austin or San Antonio?
Austin.
But I told Ed during the show prep, there's always protest in New York.
That's
just
true.
Depends on what day of the, you know, what the cause is for the day. But they're not burning down the city, okay? And Mayor Adams, quite frankly, said we're not going to tolerate anything like that. Protest like what we see going on in.
Yeah.
It was a former police officer himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And seeing going on. And I want to know. You know, when you see a story like this, Chris, maybe you know the answer, or somebody here on the panel knows the answer. You see a story like this, what's happening in Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles is the second largest city in America. You're talking about, in the metropolitan area, probably 15 million people or more, maybe more than that, 20, I don't know, in the greater Los Angeles area. Are we talking about a widespread rioting going on over, you know, half the city?
No, it's very centralized.
Yeah.
It's just in that one where the curfew was implemented. It's just in that one little area. I'm saying little in terms of geographic.
So space. This is a small area, tiny, comparatively speaking.
Like, yes.
But it might be a place that you would drive to get to a specific part of town.
Well, my question is, sometimes news stories get blown out of proportion because there's so much coverage of it when in fact it's only involving 300 people in a 1 mile area.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you say Los Angeles, you're going like, whoa.
And you look at the images.
Well, the whole city's burning down.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's a small area, tiny area, comparatively speaking.
And population wise, Los Angeles proper is 3.7 million. The greater Los Angeles area is 18.6 million.
Is that all?
Yeah.
And what did I guess?
You guessed maybe
15 to 20.
You said maybe 20.
Yeah. There was to your point, there are people out there that are saying, you know, media is misleading you over the violence and the extent of all this yesterday. And I'm not saying I agree with this lady. I'm just bringing it up as one example. Yesterday, there was some lady on X, formerly known as Twitter, she had a video of herself like blowing bubbles and what was supposedly burning down Los Angeles or whatever. So there are people out there that are saying, you know, Trump's the showman. He's doing this for publicity and headlines or whatever. And LA's not burning despite what Fox tells you and all these kinds of things. You will see more of that in the coming days. I guarantee you.
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads, you know, in the news, that's the news, service for many people. So,
and I think the news service has a vested interest in trying to create a counter narrative to the Trump got elected to deport illegals, and they're trying to say, well, not everybody's in agreement with that, when a large percentage of the American people are in agreement with it, including legal immigrants to our country.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's right.
I watched a debate two nights ago. There's a vacancy in Arizona where a Democratic congressman passed away back in March, and they're having a primary for both Republicans and Democrats. And so on Monday night, they had the primary between three Republicans running for this Democrat's seat. And then last night, they had five Democrats in their
you
primary.
You said they had a primary. Did they have a debate?
Well, they're having a primary debate. Oh, the primary is coming debate. Up. Excuse okay, me. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the three Republicans are all in agreement that what Trump is doing is right here. And then last night, the Democrats were like, Trump is terrible. He's a dictator. So that issue is it was the first question in both debates in Arizona. Hey, what do you think about what's going on in L.A., which is far away
right,
from their district here? So it is a national issue, not only something we're talking about on this show, but even in elections far away from the scene.
Yeah.
Well, I've had all my questions answered.
Have you now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Have you shared your heart enough?
I've shared some of it. There's okay. more in there, Tim.
Okay.
You don't want to
save it. We don't yeah. share your whole heart right now. Huh? There'll be time enough for that.
Yes. I'll make sure the whole world can see what goes on.
Time
inside
enough for
this
counting,
heart.
Ed, when the dealing's done. Huh? Let me sing the rest of that.
Not really.
Or leave it to Kenny Rogers.
I didn't even. Which Kenny? The normal face or the.
Oh, I man. Probably see, have said that. I didn't want to get into body shaming. You started that. You're talking about Kenny Rogers, the late Kenny Rogers. Guy's passed away.
Oh, man. You're
talking about.
You got to know when to let your face just be your face.
You got to know when to close out the hour.
You got to know when to Botox. The time. And know when to not Botox.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Did I say that out loud?
For better or for worse.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.